Wow, how many of us pray about our sex life?
I had made the decision at like 14 that I was going to wait until I was married to have sex.
Maybe you feel, more aroused. Okay, what do you do with that? If, the word is saying, okay, we don't like masturbate, then what do you do with those feelings?
I didn't learn anything about myself or my body, and I think I didn't even seek knowledge to understand where do these desires come from and why.
Before I wasn't allowed to do anything, and now suddenly I'm expected to produce a child as well as have amazing sex.
If I want to know things, it's easier to ask my friends that aren't believers, which is really sad.
It's the 40-year wedding anniversaries that like really hit me because I'm like, oh wow, you've actually kept saying yes. Whereas now I look back on my wedding video and I'm like, yo, you had no idea.
The Woman Alive podcast in association with Mercy Ships. Available now on Premier.plus.
Welcome back to another episode of the Woman Alive podcast with me, your host, Holodale Fisher. Today we're talking about a tiny word that causes big issues for the church. And that word is sex. And if you now feel immediately uncomfortable, then this might just be the episode that you need. The Bible describes sex as a holy gift of intimacy from God to be enjoyed in marriage. Yet the conversation seems to have been blacklisted in many churches. And joining me to discuss why this might be, I have Shakira Perrinet. Shakira, friend of the podcast, you are a freelance copywriter and content creator. Originally from London, you now live in Paris after a pandemic romance resulted in marriage. And your article for Woman Alive is the inspiration for the discussion we're having today. Also, your friend, Tracy Nash. Tracy, you are a social media manager, PR expert, I have heard in the grapevine, worship leader and teacher of the word in your local church. So welcome, Shakira, and welcome, Tracy.
Thank
you so
you. It's always
much.
a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So before we get on to the main conversation, I want to just get your Christian credentials up to scratch with a quick Bible quiz. I'm going to read out the question, then I'll read out the multiple choice answers, and then I'll go to you one by one to get your responses. So today's question, which Old Testament couple pretended to be siblings in a foreign land, but were caught out because of their PDAs?
Abraham and Sarah.
Wow. So, very did she just completely ignore my instructions on
She's
how
like,
this quiz would go?
Multiple choice don't need it.
Sorry, I'm new.
I was there thinking, oh, great, I know this one. For once, I know this one.
Sorry.
Love that. Okay, I'm gonna start read the multiple choice answers again.
Okay.
Even though you already have Tracy's answer.
Okay.
So, A, is it A, Abraham and Sarah? Was it B, Isaac and Rebecca? Or was it C, Jacob and Leah? And the question again, in case you've forgotten, was which Old Testament couple pretended to be siblings in a foreign land but were caught out because of their PDAs? So Tracy thinks it's A, Abraham and Sarah. Shakira, what do you think the answer is?
It's A, Abraham and Sarah.
But you both think the answer is Abraham and Sarah?
Yeah.
100% sure.
100.
No take backs.
No.
Okay. Are you ready for me to reveal the answer?
Yes.
The correct answer is Isaac and Rebecca.
No.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Because can you look, guys, let me just read the scripture that confirms this.
Which Bible?
The answer is B.
Which version?
In Genesis 26, verses 8-9, when Isaac had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down from a window and saw Isaac caressing his wife Rebecca. Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, "She's really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" Isaac answered him, "Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her." So Abraham and Sarah also pretended to be siblings, but were not caught out because of PDA, which was a very important point in the
question. Right,
that I read out twice and that you jumped on because you both thought you knew the answer.
I was so cocky with that. I was like, yes. Yeah, finally, I'm going to get the answer right. This is the time. Oh.
The funny thing is, me as quizmaster, I'm also competitor Tracy, and I would have done exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
and then right. I would have argued.
Yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
I was
it's right.
Still right.
Yeah, of course.
It's still right. But you're both wrong. So okay. We move.
I accept it.
Okay, Shakira, the article that we are discussing today, you wrote for us, and it is online. You can read it at womanalive.co.uk, and you can search for Shakira. The article is called "We Expect Married Couples to Go from Zero to Hero in the Bedroom After Their Wedding, But I Found Out It's Not That Simple." Shakira, can you read some of the article that you wrote for us, please?
Yes, I am. As Christians, the word purity is thrown around like confetti at a birthday party. Don't wear that, you've got to protect the brother's purity. Or don't watch this, it'll affect your purity. Or don't hug too long, it might affect their purity. And the list goes on and on. You then date, and it's mostly side hugs with some wild moments of going too far and cuddling for hours, both forgetting to leave room for Jesus. Okay, enough of my own confessions. But before you know it, it's boom. It's your wedding day and suddenly everyone is expecting you to have awesome sex after being awake since 6 a.m. because you had to shower and have your breakfast before the makeup artist arrived. Fun.
Thanks, Shakira. Can I ask you, how long have you been married now?
4.5 years.
4.5 years. Amazing. Congratulations. And I know that you and Tracy have bonded over just a project you're working on around relationships and within the church, whether it's married couples or unmarried couples, whatever. But Shakira, you're very open about your experience with this, which we appreciate, candid behaviour at Women Alive. So why was that a complicated transition from, you know, from virgin to sexy wife? Like, what made that particularly difficult for you, would you say?
I think a lot of the narrative is brothers and sisters in Christ. Think of the men in the church as your brother in Christ. Even when, like my now husband, when we were dating, it was like, you're not married. He's your brother in Christ. This could be somebody else's husband. You don't have any rights over him, blah, blah, blah. So to go from that mindset to suddenly all is permissible, and not just permissible, it's encouraged, was like just a lot for my head, to be honest. And I think I had made the decision at like 14 that I was going to wait until I was married to have sex. And so for me, I tried to remove every kind of barrier, whether it was watching romantic comedies or whatever, and being like, no,
oh, wow.
I don't even want to think about this. I don't want to engage in things that I can't act on, don't want to act on. So it was, I didn't get married till I was 30. So it's like 16 years of abstinence. And then all of a sudden, people are at your wedding going, oh my gosh, have fun tonight, wear this, do this, da da da. And it's like,
wear this.
I'm like, and I just felt like I didn't know, yeah, where to even begin with that, to be honest. So I think it was a massive flip of script and mind change, that's for sure.
And before I go to you, Tracy, to get some of your thoughts on this, did you think that was good preparation, Shakira? So some things you're doing were kind of guarding your heart, which the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
You were making sure you weren't, what's the Bible saying? I think it's like awaken love before it's ready, that kind of thing. Was that level of abstinence, do you think, on reflection, a good ground for then going into marriage and then suddenly being able to do everything?
That's a great question. Yes. Like I feel like I know myself and like the type of person I am. I'm like naturally quite greedy, to be honest. And so I knew that if I like even tried to open the door slightly on like what purity is and, oh, can I just push the barrier here? I would want to do everything. So I needed that much discipline and like other people, I think could be able to watch romantic comedies or whatever, and they'd be okay. It's a movie. Whereas I know my head would be going, I'd be imagining the guy that I saw in Tesco who's super handsome, whatever. And so I needed that level of discipline and it was really helpful for me. And so I don't have any regrets about the parameters I put, but I also think I didn't learn anything about myself or my body. And I think I didn't even seek knowledge to understand where do these desires come from and why, and even understanding my cycle and different parts of your cycle when you are going to be more keen to reproduce. Like, those are just natural biological things that I didn't even look into because I'm like, it's just not for me. I'm not married. And so looking back, I'm like, no, you could have educated yourself and not just run from everything. And I think I could have been more like prepared for marriage in that way.
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Shakira. And so, Tracy, are you in a relationship?
I'm unmarried. My relationship status always, I keep offline, but I'm unmarried.
Yes, sure. Okay. Yeah. And what have you seen in the church that made you think a project or working on something around relationships is important? Yeah, what have you seen in the church that made you think there's work to be done still on this issue?
I think literally what, you know, how Shakira's experience is how I see a lot of I can't speak for men, I'll speak from the perspective of women, but like single women that are, you know, trying to remain abstinent or celibate, how their mindset has been. And like Shakira, I made the same vow, you know, to abstain until marriage. However, unlike Shakira, I watched all the rom-coms, every single one. I watched all of them, which warped my reality of, you know, how romance should be. And, you know, like Shakira said, you see someone in the grocery store and, oh my gosh, that could be my boyfriend. And, you know, like completely different. And I think a little bit different to Shakira's experience, when I was in secondary school, I had a lot of friends that weren't Christians. So my experience or like knowledge and understanding of sex was quite different, because at school, people around me, 13, 14 years old, were having sex, and with older guys as well. So it was very different. And for me, I didn't feel like, oh, like I want to do it, because I was like, I'm a child. That's really weird, you know, apart from the fact that I was already, you know, in church, in the word, and I was building my own relationship with God. So I knew that, okay, this is what happens in marriage. But like Shakira was saying, I think the education around it was very much lacking, as opposed to, you know, she was saying about your cycle, and not just about, you know, reproduction. Everyone's cycle is different, but also different times of your cycle. And maybe you feel, you know, more aroused, and it's like, okay, what do you do with that? If, you know, the word is saying, okay, we don't like masturbate, then what do you do with those feelings, type of thing? So I think even now, like at my age, I'm in my mid-30s, and I've got friends my age and older who are now like getting ready for marriage, and they're now asking questions about like contraception and how does this work, because they felt they weren't allowed to ask about it, you know, for all those times. And then now they get into it, they're asking the friends that are a little bit more experienced and saying, you know, like, how do we do so-and-so, or what does this mean? And I think, yeah, there's quite a gap in terms of, like Shakira said, we can't talk about it, or we don't talk about it because it's taboo. But once you're married, you must know. Just everything works. Everything happens. Just go and do it. So I think there needs to be room for us to have healthy conversations, to educate. Also using, of course, the word, but also like using experiences of other people who are married, or even people that aren't married, maybe that have been in the world and now come to Christ and can share their experiences.
So true.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, I'm divorced now, but I definitely had that experience of kind of what Shakira calls zero to hero. And I remember someone saying to me like, oh, now you can open your womb. And I was like, wow, now my body is now the focus of church attention.
Yeah,
because
wow.
Before I wasn't allowed to do anything. And now suddenly I'm expected to produce a child as well as have amazing sex.
Yeah.
So there is that thing of like expectation that comes, which is quite unfair. And some couples struggle with infertility. So there are lots of things that come in with this once you're married, type thing. And what I find interesting as well, just on topic of sex in church, is that so many people have children. So I think everyone's having sex though. So why aren't we having those conversations? Why are we allowing the world to create this kind of secrecy and feelings of like darkness around sex, when sex was given to us as a gift, and it does come from God, and it was, and God is the person that creates our bodies to be able to enjoy it. I love what you said, Shakira, in your article, when you said something about three things that helped you. One of the things you said was praying about, you said, pray about your sex life. The same God that made your elbow made your clitoris. He knows. There is absolutely nothing strange about praying for your sex life.
Mm.
And I think, wow, how many of us pray about our sex life? Mm. Or do we just think, oh, I mean, it's this thing of like, oh, it's go into the bedroom and close the door and leave God outside because he's not involved in this dirty little secret that we have. But what I love about Woman Alive and what we're able to do, and I'm grateful for the freedom I have at Premier, is to create safe spaces for women to have this kind of conversation. So are there any safe spaces, or are there any situations you've been, or churches you've been, or retreats you've been, or conferences that you've attended where you've seen women being able to get together and talk about sex in a really healthy and practical way that doesn't feel demeaning, doesn't feel unbiblical, and doesn't feel like it's taking away from the sanctity and sacredness of marriage? Have you guys seen this work well anywhere?
Mm-hmm. Yes and no. My church, they did a relationship series this summer. So it was like teaching, but also like Q&A for people to ask questions. It didn't get too deep into sex. We have in the past, we've done separate sessions for men and women, which was helpful, but that was many years ago. So now we've kind of restarted it. There's chance for that. But other than that, I've not been to any kind of conference or setting. Like I have, for me, if I want to know things, it's easier to ask my friends that aren't believers, which is really sad. They are
interesting.
They are very open. Even if I don't want to know, they'll tell me, you know. But it's good because it's education. There's some days I'm like, too much, not today. But other days I'm like, okay, this is good to know. And obviously you learn things as you go along, but I think the church is very shy. Like even, you know, like Shakira's saying, like you just expected to know. So some of my friends just go in just thinking, okay, it will pan out. But there are very key things that, you know, you should know before you go in. But I think the church needs to do better. Not to say people aren't doing it out there, but personally, I've not seen it.
Yeah, like that's, I think it's such a great question. And as you said that, I was like, oh, wow. Like, no, like I've never been to something, a conference or a meeting specifically and been like, oh, like, wow, this is inspiring. People are being open. Like, it's definitely not something I see. But like, I think it was last week, me and three friends, we went out for Indian and we ended up literally sitting there for a good hour talking about our sex lives, what's going well, what isn't going so well, what we're doing to like hope for it to get better. And that happened really organically, really naturally, because I think it's a group of friends that all feel safe to talk about that. But I've never been to something where they're in church where there's that topic. And it's sad even for like, even as Tracy says, yeah, it's easier to speak to non-Christians about it. I'm like, why? Like, how have we just made this gift so like ugly and so secretive that even as Christians, we can't talk about it with each other? And I remember feeling like that when I was single, that my married friends wouldn't talk to me about things, almost like I was a child.
Oh, so even your Christian friends that are married and already... Assuming having sex, they weren't talking to you about it.
No, never. Because they were like, oh, but Shakira's single, so we don't want her to think about it because she can't do anything with this information. Yeah. She won't relate. Da, da, da. And so they would never talk to me about anything in regards to their intimacy ever.
Well, to be fair, you had your boundaries that you put up. So were you quite open about the fact that you didn't want to engage in any of that knowledge? I'm putting you on the spot here, but I just wonder.
Because I feel like rom-coms and stuff are like, it looks great. Whereas marriage, like when Christians talk about marriage, I don't think it's all like cloudy and like fluffy and someone bumps into you as you grab your coffee. So that stuff I would have actually found probably, I think I would have found it quite helpful. Like even like at my church, they were so like protective of, purity and all of this, that when someone would get married, they would have two bridal showers.
Oh, right.
one bridal shower would be with their friends that are married, and then they would have another bridal shower with their friends that are single.
Why?
Because Why? the one that was where the married women were, they would talk about sex and like give advice and share things that to set them up and everything. And they were like, no one else can hear this because they're not married. And so they would, everyone had two bridal showers. And I remember I used to be like, what happens in the married ones? That is
so they're gatekeeping sex.
Yes.
Good point. Absolutely good point.
Interesting.
Absolutely. And I remember thinking, one day I might be able to be at that other bridal shower. And then once I was there, I was like, there's nothing.
You're unimpressed. Is this it?
I was like, this it? Wow. I'm like, okay, a little bit of lace on some underwear and done some tips about what lubricant to use. And I'm like, okay. That's it. So, yeah,
it's an interesting one. And we're laughing, but these are very real things that people are experiencing. And one of the things that we have had people write about into us at Women Alive is difficulty in having sex with their partners once they get married, actually, because there is a discomfort. And there's also a word, and I can't remember what it's called, but it's like a phantom pain that people experience as a very real pain. But it's because the idea of sex before they get married has been such a taboo thing that they still feel guilty about it and can't quite relax to allow their bodies to accept that it's now okay. And so that causes issues with sexual intimacy once they are, you know, allowed to do it and are married. So it is something that affects many women and some men. And that's something else I wanted to go on to. When we think about purity and kind of losing virginity, often I find it pertains specifically to women, not necessarily to men. Mm. And so I wondered, have you experienced this of it being a big deal for Christians? Yes, but mainly for women, and kind of women being the gatekeepers of sex and the gatekeepers of temptation and all of this. There's a lot of, you know, we carry a lot of that responsibility, it seems, especially in the church. Kira, you mentioned about being told, don't wear this because it's, you know, you might be tempting your fellow brothers in Christ. Tracy, have you experienced this, or have you seen this in a Christian culture where that pressure to contain that purity falls more on women than men, or do you see it as more of an equal responsibility?
It's meant to be equal responsibility, but definitely I think it's more on women, because in the practical sense, obviously women, you know, if it goes that way and a woman's pregnant, it's like, oh, the woman's been having sex, but we don't talk about the man. You know, it's like the woman's shame, she's carrying it in front of her, but we don't talk about the man. Like, it's the woman that's very much, I don't want to use the word demonized, but I can't remember what the word is I want to use. But yeah, I wanted to read this scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because I was thinking about this conversation. I was like, yeah, why are we always putting this on the woman? Like, what does actually the word say about it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 12 to 13 and verse 17 to 20, this is NLT, Apostle Paul speaking. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. Verse 17. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Verse 19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. You must honor God with your body. So there's no mention there about women. There's no mention there about men. Like, Paul is addressing everyone, and he's addressing everyone because it's something that everyone can be susceptible to. We all have desires. Like we said, it's natural. Like, God made us not just to create children, but also to enjoy sex. But he's saying that when you do it in the wrong context, when you do it outside of God's will, it then becomes a sin. And like the focus that I kind of looked at on here was that saying that the Lord, he cares about our bodies. So he cares that what we fill ourselves with our minds. He cares who we let into our space. And we're meant to treat our bodies as a temple. the Holy Spirit dwells in each of us. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit just dwells in women, the Holy Spirit dwells in men. It's about understanding the price on our life and also our relationship with God. Like, if we value our relationship with God, then we're going to care what he wants us to do with our bodies as well as our soul. So that is what I think about when people talk about purity. Like, it's purity unto the Lord, purity of heart. And when your heart is pure and your heart is devoted to God, you'll want to do what pleases him. So this is not just a text for women. Like, it is for everyone.
Absolutely. Taking it back to the Bible for the truth. Love that. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So just on the topic of what kind of shapes our understanding and expectations of sex, we've got a very good blueprint in the Bible that has become warped, as we see in church and in the world. But are there things we can learn from kind of mainstream culture that is outside the church? So Tracy, you were saying that it's your non-Christian friends that usually will volunteer, sometimes unrequested, examples or conversations around sex. And Shakira, I know you were kind of keeping yourself away from some of the rom-coms. We're using rom-coms, but I guess any film that has a love story or relationship story in it. Are there things that we can learn from those storylines as Christian women?
Good question.
I'm trying to think if I've like actually ever learned something from like a movie with a romantic storyline. Because I don't think real marriage would make it into Hollywood, to be honest. Like, it's not dramatic enough. It's not, like, I think most marriages wouldn't make it onto the big screen. So I can't think of something where I'm like, oh yeah.
They're not glitzy or like glamorous enough. Well, one thing I will say is from my own experience, full disclosure, I love sex, but as a divorcee, obviously that's not something I have access to. And it's a real struggle for me to be like, oh, I now know how amazing it is and what it feels like. But what I struggle with specifically Hollywood films is that the kind of like, I love you phrase usually comes after people have had sex. Mm. And I just think that's not how I think we are expected to experience it, because I would assume when you're getting married to someone this day and age, if it's not an arranged marriage, and maybe even if it is, you have a sense that you love and are committed to love that other person, even if you haven't experienced that physical intimacy. And then because I'm Nigerian and all my Nigerian friends are obsessed with Korean drama at the moment, I started watching Korean drama, and they do it differently, I've noticed, in some of their films, because there is often hardly any physical intimacy shown. And it is a lot, everything is a lot more kind of like, it's insinuated, the stuff that's happening. You don't get the obvious, like, I want to rip your clothes off, come back to my house. It's more like, oh, can I hold your hand? Or like, and it sort of always seems a bit tame because we're so used to the gratuity of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. But actually it feels a bit more gentle and a bit more the way we are trying to do things as Christians, let me say that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I will put forward to you guys and wonder what your experience is of that.
That's a good point. I'm a K-drama junkie. Yeah, I love K-dramas. And as you were saying that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's such a good example. That's probably, if like me and my sister want to watch a rom-com, we're like, let's watch K-drama. Because like you said, they hold hands, or if they want to show in, like they like someone, they'll hold the umbrella over them when it's raining. Like, even to see like a peck on the cheek is a bit like, oh my gosh, you lot are going far. And I think it's actually good, actually, you know, if you want to avoid like all the Hollywood, like the over sexualization, K-dramas is actually a very good thing to look at, actually. That's well done, Tola, actually. But yeah, I forgot that.
Yes, advertising in from K-dramas.
And you're right, because even as you said that, I haven't watched any since, but when I got my hair braided, it was at a Nigerian lady's house, and oh my goodness, this Korean drama she was watching, I had to close my laptop. I was getting emotional.
They are emotional.
It was so like so romantic, because it's like this guy, he's doing all these things behind the scenes, he's helping her sick sister, she doesn't even know about it, he's giving money to the poor, and you see him and you're like, oh, what a great guy, but he's not trying to like woo or pursue her. And then eventually, like, it takes like 3 hours for them to even realize that they're both in love with each other. And I was hooked. I was like, this is gorgeous, this is beautiful. I hadn't even thought about it because I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's like a man of noble character. Like I literally was like, oh yes, please notice this guy. But it's true because I'm like, with the other things that I watch, even when I watch like Love at First Sight or Love is Blind and whatever, and they're like falling in love in the pod and whatever, and then 2 weeks later they don't love each other. They don't actually want to, oh, if you're not paying for this, then I don't want to be with him. And oh, if he's not moving, if she's not doing this, she's too close to her friends. And all of a sudden, it doesn't mean anything.
It's quite like conditional.
Super conditional. So, but the, K-drama, I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. That is beautiful.
And that, now you're saying that, it's making me think of like the difference between that and like Hollywood. For me, that watched a lot of rom-coms as a teenager, I'm like, a lot of it was like infatuation that actually they were showing. If you think of like rom-coms and like, I don't know, the girl is doodling the man's name in a notebook and she's got his pictures up in a locker and all that, like they're infatuated. Like they're not really like rom-coms, like teen rom-coms, they're not really teaching you about love. Obviously they're for fun, but they teach you, okay, I like this person on first sight, and let me act on it. Like now a boyfriend and girlfriend, and now like, okay, now we need to go all the way. Now we need to have sex to show that we're really serious. And I'm like, actually, that's not the way that the world is teaching us, you know, to do things. So yeah, I think there's quite a stark difference between Hollywood and K-dramas. So this is PR for K-dramas.
It is PR for K-dramas. We definitely need some advertising to come in from the Netflix, are you listening?
And it's funny because even the other day I was thinking like so much of the beauty around marriage and witnessing a wedding is the naivety of it. And I was like, if anything, now I'm like, nah, it's the 40 year wedding anniversaries that like really hit me because I'm like, oh, wow, you've actually kept saying yes over and over and over again, even when this happened, backs are aching, challenges, whatever, you're still there. Like that to me blows my mind. Whereas now I look back on my wedding video and I'm like, you had no idea.
Is that a case for a smaller wedding and then a bigger renewal of vows later on?
Yes, I think that would be, well, my wedding was tiny. It was like, what, 20 people? So, but I'm like, I would love to like have a massive celebration if we make, well, look, not in Jesus' name, when we make it.
When? 20 in Jesus' name, when?
When, yeah. When?
When, when? Because I'm like, that's huge. Like, I feel like that's a real party to keep saying yes. So yeah, I'd love that.
All right. Thank you both so much for your contributions to this conversation. And I really feel like there'll be people listening who will be helped and just encouraged by some of the things you've said. It's always good for me when we're having this conversation to have people kind of from both sides of it. So, you know, you're married and Tracy, you're not. So actually, we're not just talking about it from the position of like, oh, we're able to do it and this is what you have to expect. It's obviously a lot more nuanced than that anyway. But just thank you both for sharing so openly, honestly. I do sometimes do this at the end of these sessions, I don't always, but I would love it if one of you would pray for our listeners, because I think this is a very sensitive topic, and I think that, as you've said, there isn't a lot of transparency in the church. I don't know what's happening in local churches, but definitely in the capital C church, these conversations aren't being had in a way that necessarily is helpful, especially to women. If one of you would love to pray or both of you would pray, that'd be great. But I'm going to ask, because I know you, Shakira, I'm going to ask you, and hopefully you don't mind putting you on the spot, but I just think it's such an important thing to do. So
happily. Thank you. Father God, I thank you so much for this podcast, for this episode. I thank you for the topics that we've discussed, to be reminded of intimacy, to be reminded of sex and the way you've designed for it to be between a husband and a wife and for them to be one flesh. And your design in Genesis is perfect. And so I pray that we can love that design. I pray that you can be close to those who are listening, who are single and being like, and thinking, this is hard. This is hard to wait. This is hard to pursue purity when everywhere I turn is the world is about sex. And I pray that you, that I'm cheering on every single one of those people and give them just the greatest honor, because it's such a fight and it is not in vain, God. I also pray for those that are married and listening, and their sex in life, their intimacy in the relationship is not at all what they imagined it to be, God. I pray that they'll be able to find safe places to be open, safe places to share, to get advice, to get input, God. Because I know that Satan can use this so much to bring shame, to bring quietness, to bring things that are hidden, God. But I pray that we can, anyone listening who feels like that, will have the courage, have the faith to expose it and bring it into the light so that your name can be glorified, God. I pray that we love your design, that we can honor marriage in all ways, whether it's hard or not, God. And I pray that you bring, yeah, inspiration and comfort for all those listening who feel stretched listening to this, God. And I pray that, yeah, that it can all be, yeah, that it can all bring us closer to you, God, and that it will give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you both so much. Okay, before we get to the next section of the podcast, where can we find out more about you, Tracy, and then Shakira?
My social media, you can follow me on Instagram. My handle is Wrapped in Culture, so WRAPPEDN. CULTURE.
And then for me, you can find me on Instagram, and it's simply Shakira in Paris.
Great Sexpectations.
All right, so the next section of the podcast is where we answer a reader or listener question or dilemma about sex, intimacy, and or relationship. So this is a series that we run called Great Sexpectations online at womanalive.co.uk. Every 2 weeks, we post a reader question and someone on the Woman Alive panel responds. So you can read our responses and the questions there. And what I'm asking you guys now, I'm just asking for what you might say to a friend, colleague, someone at church, who has a question that might be similar. What would you say? So today's question is about someone who feels insecure in their marriage. Dear Woman Alive, I've been married for 5 years and I love my husband. He is kind and thoughtful, but I sometimes feel insecure around other women. We hang out with a few couples from church, and I know that he finds one of the wives really attractive. He always notices pretty women, and I see him looking, trying to make eye contact with them, and this feels disrespectful. I know he would never be unfaithful, although I feel like he is being unfaithful in his mind. I don't know how to bring it up without making him feel judged, and I don't want to have to tell him to make me feel secure. Shouldn't I just be secure in myself? So there's a few things there which make me instantly feel icky about what she's experiencing, and that some of that lends itself to the discussion we're having earlier about women taking on the responsibility of carrying purity and carrying that responsibility. But I wonder what you both think. Don't rush
first.
To go fast.
Shakira said me first. Okay, I'll answer in one way. Shakira, I think married women should also answer married women parts. I'll answer from the woman part and the biblical part. A security in yourself, like everyone, we should all know who we are in Christ. Like as women, it's really important to know who you are, know who God created you to be. If you have like an insecurity about who you are, like I always like go to the word with everything. I'm like, okay, what does the Bible say about who God says I am? Like he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. If God, who made every single hair on your head, thinks you are magnificent, you need to think of yourself as magnificent. If there's ever a moment that you feel you are thinking contrary to God's word, you need to come back and align yourself with it. Because if you're thinking outside of God's word, then you know that it's not from God. That's really important. But when I was growing up, like I was insecure about a lot of things. And my mum is someone that spoke life into me and my sisters. She spoke the word into us, and she would like stand us in front of a mirror and say, like, tell me what you see. And I was like, this is so dead, mum. Why are you doing this? And she would say, you know, she'll be like, you are beautiful, you're this, you're that. And, you know, not just physical like things, but she'll be like, tell me about your character, tell me about your personality, like what is good about you. And she would make me list it. And I find like now I'm older, I do the same thing for like my godkids. And I'm like, you know, if they feel insecure, I'm like, no, who are you? I'm like, you're funny, you're smart, you're this, you're that. So list the things that are good about you. List the things that God says about you if you find it hard to say for yourself. The husband part, without divulging too much into the marriage territory, if you find he's struggling with lust, no, lust is a sin. That's something that you can pray for him on and ask God for wisdom in how to talk to him about it. Because if it's something that you've noticed, he's trying to get the attention of other women, you know, people don't start being, you know, you said you trust that he won't be unfaithful, but people don't just become unfaithful, you know, just in a second. It starts with small things. If you are noticing behaviours, address it instead of brushing it under the carpet, because, that would just not be helpful. But ask God for wisdom in how to address it.
Absolutely. Such a good point about it doesn't just start with someone being unfaithful. It starts somewhere. Little foxes. All right, Shakira, what about you?
I think even listening to it and imagine the scenario, I'm like, oh, that's really hard. And it's really, I can imagine, painful. And so I think even the tone that it was written, I was like, please be gracious with yourself and show yourself kindness and love in this situation. Because I had a sense of like taking responsibility or not wanting or like feeling guilty about your feelings of witnessing your husband look at someone else and try and get attention. And so I just want to encourage you that how you feel and that being painful is more than okay. And the scripture that I was thinking of was 1 Peter 3:7, where it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. And the other one was Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so as you question, should I bring anything up? Am I judging him? Remember that his role as your husband is to love you and to respect you, and for him to be trying to gain eye contact from another woman is not respectful and is not loving. And so you calling him to that standard is biblical. And I think even the way you wrote it is with such a tone of humility, which I think is beautiful. And so please do share how you feel when you see that happen, and use those emotion words of I feel X when I see you look at this woman and search for her eye contact. And hopefully, and I really pray that he'll be able to see the impact of allowing those thoughts to produce fruit and action. And I pray that that really inspires him and convicts him to take hold of that and not let those thoughts fester or to feed them. So I hope that you'll be able to call him to the standard of love and respect, and remember that you are the daughter of the Most High, first and foremost. Yeah, I don't care if this is an absolute babe next to him. You are the daughter of the Most High, and you should be honored in that way and treated in that way. And love and respect is just it's the foundation of that. So I pray that you have that conversation, even though it's a hard one to have.
Amazing. Thank you both so much. So I think that's, I don't have anything to add to that. That was really sound advice. Thank you both. Thank you, Shakira. Thank you, Tracy, for joining me on the podcast today. Shakira, you're already a friend of the podcast. Tracy, you've now been upgraded. You are a friend of the podcast. Woo!
Thank
you. Even though you both failed the Bible quiz at the beginning.
Oh, my goodness. No, we didn't.
You set out a trap.
Honestly, truly.
She said, gotcha.
Technically, we got half a point.
Love you giving yourselves half a point. We'll allow the half a point each.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. You can read all the articles we discussed at womanalive.co.uk. And don't forget our special offer. Podcast listeners get 50% off Woman Alive magazine. Head to womanalive.co.uk/podcast to sign up now. I'll be back with more guests and topics next week.
For more inspiring conversations, articles and opinions, head to womanalive.co.uk. Woman Alive. Real women, real lives, real faith.